Bulldogs down the back. Walters with the crossover dribble on Iowa's drive. Free throw line. Walters kicks into the corner. Vaughn stole another open three. That one's in there for Vaughn. Stole with his second three-pointer of the quarter. He's in the double figures with 12, and it's 32-12, a 20-point lead for Osborne.
Number one team in the state and 1A, the Osborne Bulldogs, stay undefeated last night. A very impressive performance that you could have heard on KD Country 94, knocking off Rock Hills last night. And that's where we begin on the sports ticket here today. Dusty will give us a recap of that one since he had the call. And the girls and boys game, and there were some other games last night in the area, including an area athlete hitting a big milestone, and there's another athlete in our area that has a chance to hit that same milestone later tonight. So that's all coming up here on the ticket.
Yes, Osborne getting a sweep last night. As you mentioned, the boys win the final was 66-32. Vaughn Stoll, who you heard, made that three-pointer, led all scorers in that boys game with 15 points for Osborne, and kind of workmanlike effort there for the Bulldogs. It wasn't their best offensive performance, I wouldn't say, but they played really well defensively last night, improving to 16-0 overall and 9-0 in the Northern Plains League. Osborne cruises to that 66-32 win. In the girls' game, Osborne winning 63-37. Trinity Looters had another solid game. The freshman was our athlete of the week last week, and she added 22 points in the win last night for Osborne. 16 points apiece for Ryan Brown and Ava Stoll, both tied their career high as Osborne girls moved to 10-7 and 6-3 in the Northern Plains League with that win. So again, Osborne gets the victory there. On the Rock Hills girls were led by Lauren Welchel with 17 points in the loss. So the Bulldogs getting the sweep last night on Katy Country 94 in Mankato. Also, as Wade mentioned, there was one athlete from the area that hit a milestone. Lauren Dubert scored 20 points last night in St. John's Tipton's 55-25 win over Lincoln. And with those 20 points during the game, she surpassed the 1,000-point mark in her career in scoring. So she becomes the third member of her family to do that. Trey and Davis, her older brothers, both surpassed that on the boys' side. And Lauren has now another full year and some more games to maybe reach Davis's 1,500. We'll see what happens there. Lauren Dubert again passing the 1,000-point mark last night for St. John's Tipton in their 55-25 victory. Also, other girls' scores last night from the area. Sylvan Lucas over Lakeside, 39-32 in overtime. Southern Cloud beat Natoma, 42-14. And Thunder Ridge over Hill City, 51-26. Other boys' scores last night, St. John's Tipton over Lincoln, 60-33. Brady Paul on 21 points. Jaden Rosebaugh had 10 for the Blue Jays in that win. Lakeside boys won over Sylvan Lucas, 41-32. Natoma over Southern Cloud, 53-32. And Hill City over Thunder Ridge, 51-24. So that's a look at what happened in last night's high school basketball action. If you missed any of the scores, they're all posted at ncksports.com. So we'll move ahead to tonight's basketball now, as we have doubleheaders on both Katy Country 94 and Z96.3 through the lake. Katy Country 94, we've got Osborne hosting Sylvan Lucas here this evening. Girls pregame coverage probably begin around 6 o'clock, I'd guess, here tonight. And then tip off around 6:10, 6:15 is what it looks like. And then also on Z96.3 through the lake, it's Sacred Heart at Beloit, NCAA league play, important games tonight. Girls pregame coverage beginning at 5:50, tip off at 6. And also you can check the games out online on the Beloit Trojan channel at ncksports.com. A few other games going on, not a real heavy schedule tonight. St. John's Tipton is hosting Pike Valley. Lakeside at home against Wilson. Rock Hill's back at home again against Southern Cloud. And Lincoln's at Thunder Ridge tonight. Concordia is at Phillipsburg in a non-league game between the NCKL and MCL cross-league matchup there tonight. So, again, the full schedule, everything you need to know about the games is at ncksports.com to see if where your favorite team is playing here tonight. If you missed any of that, right here.
Wrestling locker room chats tonight?
Yes, wrestling locker room chats. We'll talk to the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, and Smith Center as they get prepared for regional wrestling coming up on Friday and Saturday.
Our locker room chats at 5:15 tonight on Katy Country 94. If you miss them, we'll post them later on at our website, katycountry94.com, with those podcasts. All right. It is a big doubleheader tonight in Beloit. It is senior night in Beloit. On top of all of that, as the Beloit girls and boys have a chance to really enhance their chances of winning a league title. The Beloit girls, it's all right in front of them. They don't have to worry about any help or anything. If they win both games this week against Sacred Heart tonight at home and at Minneapolis on Friday, the Beloit Lady Trojans are your outright, they can hog it, keep it to themselves, league champions. Coach Remus, aware of the ramifications this week.
We'll take whatever we can get, but one game at a time. That's been my preach since Christmas. Let's go one game at a time. Let's just take each game, focus on what they do, and we know what Sacred Heart's going to bring, and we're just going to try to go out and defend them and hit shots and and get excited when we win that. But then we got one more to really focus on because Minneapolis plays us extremely well every year, too. So that one's not a gimme either.
In the first meeting on January 28th, it was Sacred Heart's first game in 2 weeks. And when Beloit went from man-to-man and switched to a 3-2 zone, Sacred Heart just chucked a lot of threes and missed almost all of them. Didn't have a good zone offense. I've talked to their coach, and they've got some new sets to go up against that 3-2 zone. They know they're going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why wouldn't you? It makes Sacred Heart make some outside shots. Sacred Heart got out to an early lead in that one, and then once Beloit went to the zone, Beloit controlled things the rest of the way. Shea Larson playing very well. Jess Meyer has been solid throughout the year. And so the Beloit Lady Trojans, they'll probably see some zone themselves, I would think, for some teams here the rest of the season. And so it'll be interesting to see how Sacred Heart handles that 3-2 zone, which Beloit girls won 47-38 in the first meeting. And if the Beloit girls win tonight and then Friday against Minneapolis, then they are the outright league champions. Now, if they would win tonight and lose on Friday, they would still have a share of the league title because they would hand Sacred Heart their third loss in league play with a win tonight. Southeast already has three losses. Beloit would get their third loss on Friday against Minneapolis in that scenario, and you could have a three-way tie for the league championship. Now, Beloit doesn't want to share. Trust me, Shauna Remus is very competitive. She doesn't want to share. So the girls tonight, first things first, like Coach said, you've heard it many times before, one game at a time. Sacred Heart will be ready to go. I think they'll be a little sharper than they were the first time around, but I think both teams are better since then. And Sacred Heart's played six games in the last 2 weeks. They played Friday and Saturday. And Saturday they went out to TMP and got smoked when TMP played really well and made 8 three-pointers. So be interested to see what happens tonight in the girls' game. The boys' game, a little bit different scenario, but still a chance for a league title for the Beloit boys. Probably more so a share of the league title, but in order to get a share of the league title, they must win tonight at home against Sacred Heart, a team that just flat out took it to them a few weeks ago on January the 28th in Salina. Beloit boys just never found any kind of rhythm offensively. They struggled. I thought there was a lack of energy, which was interesting considering it's a rival, but it was coming off the Orange and Black Classic. Sacred Heart had 2 weeks off. They didn't play a midseason tournament, so maybe that helped the Sacred Heart boys. And then Caleb Gillen, who had made 1-3 all year long, had 3, I think, in the first half. That wasn't really in the scouting report. Sacred Heart's a little bit different team now because their all-league point guard, Tate Herrenbrook, tore his ACL on February the 4th, so he's out for the year. But Sacred Heart's still a good team. They beat TMP on Saturday. They've had some good wins, another win against Southeast Saline without Herrenbrook. So this is not like, oh, my goodness, they're falling apart because they lost their best scorer. That's not the case at all. The Sacred Heart team is a deep team. They are very good defensively. They have played 17 games, and 10 of those 17 games, they've held the opposition to under 40 points. That's impressive. That is really impressive. And they held Beloit to a season-low 32 the first time out back on January 28th in Salina. So the equation is simple. Beloit boys win tonight, and then they win on Friday at Minneapolis, which that's not simple. These are two really good teams they're going to face this week. Beloit might be playing the best ball of the year, however, and if Beloit can win both these games this week, they're assured at least a share of the league title. But in order to do that, Coach Ryan Eilert of the Beloit Trojan Boys knows this team's going to play a lot better tonight than they did in Salina.
The first game, offensively, we didn't shoot it well. We didn't move the ball well. You know, it wasn't a very good game for us. But, I feel like since then, we've done a much better job of getting the ball moving and setting each other up. And then, you know, defensively against them, you know, they just were comfortable throughout. And you know, the game wasn't even really that close. It was just they had it in hand the whole time. And they just acted like they should. And so, you know, for us, it is a huge game for league, sub-state, and pride as well, because the way they handled us the first time, we know we're a better team than that, but we're going to have to come out and show it.
Yep, that's right. I mean, they have to prove it tonight. They'll be at home. It's senior night. Vincent Pollen is 1 point away. He is on 999 career points. We mentioned earlier St. John's Tipton's Lauren Dubert hit her 1,000th point in her career last night as a junior. Vincent Pollen, with a free throw or a bucket tonight, will be over 1,000 points, and I'm sure he would love to celebrate that milestone with a W over league rival Sacred Heart. So it's going to be a fun night over in Beloit. Senior night, Beloit girls and boys, all four teams, including the Sacred Heart girls and boys, have opportunities to win league titles, and a win tonight for any one of these four teams will go a long way in winning a league title outright or getting a share of a league title, and that's important, trust me, to both of these schools tonight over in Beloit.
Corey Booker just called the Lakeside. Wilson girls don't have enough girls again to play tonight, so they're not playing Lakeside tonight. It'll be a 5:15 JV start. Varsity boys at 6 tonight over in Downs for Wilson and Lakeside.
Just a boys game tonight.
Just boys.
For varsity. All right, we'll note that. All right, KU last night knocking off Iowa State by a final score of 91-71. KU has scored a lot of points the last couple of games, 87 against Oklahoma, 91 against Iowa State. And one of the reasons, well, each game they've had a guard hit 6 three-pointers.
Rebound, Udoka. He'll kick the dot. He'll try a three. He got it. Devon Dotson cannot miss. 11 of 13. He's got 29.
Dotson, 6 of 8 from three-point land, 3 of 4 from deep in each half, as he had 29 points. KU, the third-ranked team in the country, picked up its 800th all-time win inside Allen Fieldhouse. They shot 57% from the floor, 12 of 27 on threes. They're 11 of 22 on threes against Oklahoma on Saturday. And when they make threes, this team is almost unstoppable. And that's one of the limitations they have, is their three-point shooting and free-throw shooting. And Fran Franchillo's documented that each and every time KU plays, and he's calling the game, and he's right about that. KU's defense hasn't been as good the last couple of games, but it doesn't have to be when you're scoring that many points. Now, when KU struggles on offense, which I think they will on Saturday against Baylor, who's really a good defensive team, the first team to 60 or 55 or even 50 might win that game Saturday in that battle between number one Baylor and number three Kansas. KU's going to have to play better defense. And Bill Self, before we get to the defensive part, first talks about Dotson and his performance last night.
Well, yeah, he shot it. You know, that's the first time he's... And Devon's a good shooter, and he had made shots basically all year consistently. So you guys would know better than me, but what's the most number he's made in the game up until tonight?
Three or four.
Yeah, so and that hasn't happened very often, if even multiple times. So, it was good to see him get the ball to go down. You know, he had an efficient game.
So Marcus Garrett hit 6 threes on Saturday, and then Devon Dotson hit 6 threes yesterday, last night, against Iowa State. So that means it's Isaiah Moss's turn to hit 6 threes Saturday at Waco. I don't know if Kansas will make 6 threes as a team at Waco. And speaking of that, Bill Self realizes his defense has to be better, especially when you go down to take on the number one team in the country on Saturday.
I think sometimes that's fool's gold, but I don't think that's how this team will win consistently. I still think that the grimier it is, the more we should like it, and we didn't do anything to make it grimy the last two games, so, which isn't all bad, because we need to see the ball go in the basket too. So I hope, hopefully it'll be a good balance. Now we can hopefully get back to guarding a little bit and then do it with more of a confident offensive mindset.
KU has won 11 in a row. They are now 23-3 overall, and they're 12-1 in the Big 12. Baylor is 12-0. They're 23-1. They've won 22 in a row, won in Lawrence early this year by 12. And Baylor has, I think, a bit of a scary game tonight. They're at Oklahoma. Oklahoma right now is in the NCAA tournament, according to the projections, but they're not really in solidly. If they get a win over the number one team in the nation tonight at home, that's a huge feather in the cap, and that might push Oklahoma to where they're going to be in the tournament. That'd be a huge resume builder for Baylor. You might be looking ahead to Kansas on Saturday. So this is an interesting spot for Baylor tonight at Oklahoma at 8 o'clock. Oklahoma had a chance to win the game in the final seconds in Waco earlier this year. They made a late rally, and Austin Reeves had a three from the corner, and had that thing gone in, Oklahoma might have won that game. So Baylor at Oklahoma tonight is a big game on ESPN2. Oklahoma State at West Virginia, that's on ESPN2 tonight, so a Big 12 doubleheader on ESPN2. And even if Baylor does lose that game, you still have a battle of the two teams are tied atop the Big 12 at 12-1. So I don't think it takes a lot of gloss off of the game coming up on Saturday. But certainly, Kansas, if Oklahoma beats Baylor tonight and Kansas can win at Baylor on Saturday, suddenly Kansas has a one-game lead, and they have the easier schedule the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. So it's very important for Baylor to focus on the job at hand tonight against Oklahoma. And if they do, then it comes down to, okay, them and Kansas. And if Baylor can win both games this week, you're up two games, and And there is no tiebreaker, by the way. If KU would come back and tie, even though they get swept by Baylor, it's still they share the trophy or get each one get a trophy and all that good jazz. We saw at KU K-State 1 year where KU beat K-State both times, but K-State got a share of it. So they don't break it by, with a tie or anything like that. So what do you think? You think Baylor's going to get it done tonight, Oklahoma, or do you feel that Baylor is due to lose one? Because it's not like they've been blowing out everybody in Big 12 play. They've had some tussles. And at times, Baylor does scuffle offensively.
I'm going to say they're going to win tonight.
You're going to say they're going to win tonight?
Yeah.
I'll just go different. I'll just be a little bit different.
I'm not going to say they're just, going to go in there and just blow them out and not have a problem.
I've bet against Baylor the last so many years, and I've usually been right. But this year I've been wrong. I'll say Oklahoma finds a way to get it done. I know it's easy for coaches can say over and over, don't overlook Oklahoma, don't overlook Oklahoma. But it's human nature to overlook a team when you got KU on the horizon and Big Monday or the big game days crew is going to be their ESPN. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere. And Oklahoma has so much to play for tonight at home. For their sake, I hope they have the place packed and it's loud. But Baylor has been absolutely fantastic on the road this year. They're 8-0. And they're 6-0 in the Big 12, including winning in Lawrence in a hostile environment. So Baylor seems to have the pedigree that they should win tonight, but they're also due to lose. When you win 22 in a row, you're due to lose. And maybe that due to lose game is going to be Saturday at home against Kansas. Or maybe this is a Baylor team that everybody's talked about how there's no dominant team, but Baylor's been top the national standings for a while now. Maybe Baylor is the dominant team. Maybe Baylor is a team that's going to go 40-1 or whatever, and they're going to win the whole thing. And all along, we're like, they're no dominant team. Maybe Baylor is that team. Maybe they'll prove everybody wrong.
They could. There's no question that they could do it. But
I think they benefit, though, them and Kansas, that the Big 12 isn't as good this year.
Yes, for sure.
I think we've found that so far. So Baylor at Oklahoma tonight, that's a big one. KU fans will be watching that. Then KU at Baylor Saturday, pregame at 10:30 on Z96.3 Lake, and tip-off scheduled for 11 a.m. All right, the Daytona 500 was yesterday. And a scary, scary situation at the end. And luckily, Ryan Newman is in better shape than you would imagine if you've seen the crash on the final lap and the final turn there at the Daytona 500, which was postponed to yesterday due to weather on Sunday. Denny Hamlin celebrating his win, but then once he knew that Ryan Newman was seriously hurt, immediately the celebration was squashed. Denny Hamlin and his crew, Joe Gibbs Racing, caught a lot of heat from people that jump the gun like they always do in this world. Because that they celebrated. Well, they didn't know exactly what was going on behind them. There was a spotter of Denny Hamlin that immediately just kind of left his perch and wanted to make sure Ryan Newman was okay. And he says, I take responsibility. I should have communicated to Denny and everybody else that this could have been a really serious thing. But he said, my first thought was to go down and try to help or see what's going on, which I don't blame that spotter at all for that. Ryan Newman, he ends up being fourth. He crashed and then he flipped. And then he came to a stop across the finish line near the infield. And he gets fourth place, but he was right there leading. Ryan Blaney got behind him. Blaney says he was just trying to push a Ford to the finish line so a Ford could win. You had Denny Hamlin on the high side, and then somebody got loose, and then Newman just right into the wall, which reminds you of when Dale Earnhardt ran into the wall, kind of the angle that Newman hit it. But the scary part was when the car behind, the trailing field, came through. They can't see. They can't hit the brakes, obviously, and just drilled him on the driver's side. I'm like, oh, my God. My heart was in my throat when I saw that because I thought, man, I hope he's somehow going to be okay. This is interesting. NASCAR, the top three levels of NASCAR, there has not been a death on the racetrack since Dale Earnhardt in 2001, I think is what they said last night.
Yeah.
And that's almost 20 years, and that's great. And these cars are safer than they've ever been before. But this does, remind you that this is still a dangerous sport. And Ryan Newman, he's 42 years of age. He's in serious condition. His injuries are not considered to be life-threatening, so that's good news. And he is at Halifax Medical Center. And NASCAR says, please respect the privacy of Ryan and his family during this time. Now, Ryan Newman has been a critic of the restrictor plate racing and races and the restricted plate cars because he says that you can get airborne and that there's some safety issues there. And we saw what happened yesterday. Yeah. He got airborne. And that's, I can't imagine what that's like. I don't want to ever feel what that's like. Really scary situation. But those cars are about as safe as they've ever been, and they'll continue to make them safer. But Ryan Newman, it looks like, although one ESPN anchor, he's fine. He's in serious condition. He's not fine. It looks like he's going to survive, but he's not fine. If he's in serious condition, he's not fine. Even if he's in fair condition, he's not fine. If he's in a hospital, he's not fine. he's not dying, but he's not fine. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
If you're in the hospital, you're not fine. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Not a lot of people that are in fine condition just get admitted to the hospital. See what I'm saying? There's something wrong that makes you go to the hospital, right?
Yeah. You're not fine.
You're not fine if you're in a hospital.
You're not fine if you can't get out of your car.
Okay? No, right.
If you can't leave that car by yourself and get, you know, that little bit of medical attention that every race car driver will get in that situation.
Exactly.
And just walk away, you're not fine.
Absolutely. You're not. So he's not fine, but it's better. It's probably the best case scenario considering how bad that wreck was at the end of Daytona 500. Denny Hamlin wins his third Daytona 500 and his second straight, and this was the second closest finish in NASCAR in Daytona 500 history. Jimmy Johnson running in his final Daytona 500. He was involved in a big wreck on lap 183 and did not finish. So Ryan Newman, our thoughts and prayers. We hope that he's going to be okay. I'm sure Ryan Blaney feels bad about what happened, which, you know, I don't think he did anything wrong. It's just that's part of racing and it happens. But Ryan Newman in serious condition at the hospital, but it looks like he will survive that crash. And if you see it and you go back and watch it, if you haven't seen it yet, you ask yourself, how do these people survive these wrecks? We really do. You just shake your head and go, wow, that's just amazing. Somebody was looking over this guy. But NASCAR, you got to give them a lot of credit. They have really made the sport so much safer than it was. And I think that started once Dale Earnhardt, you know, died at Daytona.
Yeah, it definitely had a very bigger emphasis on it after that.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. All right. Riley Gates of Go Powercat. GoPowercat.com. Our Wildcat Insider is on the way here on the Sports Ticket. Before I get to that, let's go back to high school basketball for a moment. The regional standings right now in Class 1A, the Lincoln Substate, the St. John's Tipton girls are a 2 seed based on Keisha's standings. Clifton Clyde the 1, Southern Cloud the 3, Lincoln the 4, Tescott the 5, Lynn the 6, and Pike Valley a 7. So based on the records now, St. John's Tipton would have to play a first-round game in regionals against Pike Valley. First-round games are at the higher seed. Is that correct at regionals?
Yes.
Okay. I thought so, but it seemed like 1 year they had changed that. And Rock Hill Substate, Mankato, Thunder Ridge, the number 1 seed, they'll get a first-round bye. Osborne's a 2, Logan's a 3, Lakeside's a 4, Rock Hill's a 5, Stockton a 6, Northern Valley a 7. So if the season ended today, Rock Hills would be at Lakeside, both on the girls' and boys' side, for the first round of Substate. You can make it a doubleheader. That would help us radio people.
Yeah, I think they probably would.
They should.
Do, yeah.
There's no point in having, well, especially if the same team has got the home game, and it looks like right now, well, Lakeside Rock Hill has got the same record, 10-6.
Lakeside should have a tie break since they beat them. So.
Okay, and the Lakeside girls have a big enough lead over Rock Hills to get home game. So, yeah, those would probably be in downs if the standings hold up, which there's just one more game tonight and the girls, Lakeside's not going to play. So the Lakeside girls have wrapped up a home game.
Yeah,
they got a home game. Now, whether Rock Hill stays in that 5 slot, we don't know for sure because they're tied with Stockton. So we shall see there. And then the Osborne boys, they are the number 1 seed. They'll get a first-round bye. Northern Valley, 2, Logan, a 3, Lakeside boys, a 4, as I mentioned. Rock Hill's a 5, Stockton, a 6, Thunder Ridge is a 7. The St. John's Tipton boys, number 1 seed right now. It looks like they're in pretty solid shape to just have that and get a bye in the first round of regionals. Clifton Clyde, the 2, Pike Valley, the 3, Lincoln, the 4, Lynn, the 5, Southern Cloud, the 6, and Tescott is the 7. And the Beloit girls right now are the number 2 seed in their 3A substate, which they'll host the first week of March. The Beloit boys are tied atop the substate standings at 14-3 now. And then looking at class 2A, where's Smith Center at?
Oh, man.
Ellis.
Yeah.
Smith Center is Ellis.
Ellis, right.
Smith Center is at Ellis. And on the boys' side, Smith Center right now would be the 7 seed. So they would play Ellis in the first round if the season ended today at Ellis. And then the rest of the substate would be at Ellis. And on the girls' side, as I scroll through here and pull this up on my computer and see Smith Center girls would be a 4 seed, and it looks like that's pretty much locked in for them as they would host Ellis.
Yes.
So somebody going to give a home game so we can save money? I'm guessing
so.
Not. Knowing Nick Lynn as I know him, I don't think he's giving up a home game, and I don't blame him at all when it comes to that. All of those standings, substate and regional standings, are posted in CKSSports.com. There's a direct link, and you can check those out for yourselves. And then the regional brackets will come out tomorrow. And then regionals for 1A next week, and then substate basketball brackets for the rest of classes will come out next week, Wednesday, middle of next week, for the other class that don't have regionals, and then the sub-states for 1A will come out at the end of the week, or the weekend, because they have to play through the regionals. And then, of course, we'll have sub-states first week of March, and then state the week after that, and hopefully we'll have some teams to cover at state competition.
Yes.
That would be nice.
It would be great.
Yes, it would.